The next presentation is, the title is Developing Spatially Populated Weather Data for Applications in Environmental Modeling and Monitoring. Our presenter is Paul Miller from Waterborne Environmental Incorporated. Paul.
Well, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors here, Jisoo Bang and Paul Henley from Syngenta. They sponsored some of this work on developing some spatially populated database data for doing different kinds of modeling that we have going on together. I'd also like to acknowledge Bill Northcott, Chris Harbert, my colleagues at the Illinois office. Bill runs a spatial rainfall consulting website. It's called Spatial Rainfall Consulting, and Chris is somebody I've been working with for years. So the whole point of this is that weather data are available in many forms, and you can check CNN, you can check the Weather Channel, all sorts of things, and always see these kinds of images of weather data that is available, but actually developing the methods to house those kind of data away from a lot of government-sponsored websites such that they can be utilized with facility is the primary focus of this talk. So I'm going to talk about the AHPS multi-sensor precipitation data set. And we'll look at a couple examples for dealing with that and using it for agricultural chemical risk assessment. And then we'll talk a lot about the infrastructure that we use to have these data available for modeling, for different modeling examples. And we'll show you just a couple of concentration predictions and things that we've done at the watershed scale and some local uses, too. So I'm sure people are fairly familiar with the NEXRAD radar data itself, but the AHPS, and this is a slightly older graphic, although the interface is exactly the same, from the AHPS from NOAA to access and archive data. You can usually pull down these data on a daily basis or like in kind of different kinds of summaries, but one of the things that's really nice about this data set is it's already been pre-processed using NEXRAD data, using rain gauge data, and kind of been set for some reality, some sort of evaluation with the actual collected data. That has been discussed in various papers by Xiao and co-authors, but also has been evaluated by one of my co-authors in Michigan using the Cooperative Meteorological Network there. Right now, there are 10,000 U.S. gauges that are part of the real-time correction for the system. This is what you see just generally available on their website, but also in various images, Weather Channel, other things like that, except they're usually showing just the NEXRAD without the correction. These are data sets that are available on a daily basis, so our system is designed such that it pulls in every day at around 1:30 p.m. yesterday's national data, and then we have some quality checks that go through the process, too. For this 12-state region, you can see there's 180,000 individual NEXRAD grid cells that represent data points that we can use. This is a totalization for a week of interest during the cropping season. But you can see all of the variability in all of this, and that's critical for what we're trying to do, especially with agricultural chemical risk assessment. As Cecil was mentioning before, really getting down to the spatial discrimination that's required so that you can actually evaluate areas of interest in any kind of process is critical. So these things are freely available online, but they're always in standard file formats. They're always in compressed file formats, like NetCDF or shapefiles or whatever you're going to use. And some of those are really, really good if you're just going to be pulling out data for a small specific area. But at Waterborne and at Syngenta, we're always looking for data sets for all over the place. And it's almost the same amount of work to do an individual small-scale evaluation as it is to basically set up the system so that you can continue to just use the system. So we've developed a number of tools to do that, a number of data processing automation routines, and we've spent a lot on database design to make that happen. Let's see. So we've already got in-house 2002-2011 daily data at the U.S. scale. Currently, we're also processing data for other data stuff for the globe, or you know, other areas, not necessarily focusing on precipitation, but also focusing on solar radiation data, you know, using NASA data sources as much as we can. And so we've got a new data set in-house that goes back to 1978 on a global scale. So we've also, you know, built these kind of processors to use directly these databases for generating input files in model usable formats. The process that follows is to basically use a web data source and create an automated data key for that, for our database system. We pre-process those data into some sort of format, build into our SQL database data, and also ASCII input file format data sets, extraction routines to utilize that, and then that goes directly into the modeling systems that we're dealing with. The enterprise-level database system that we have here is just an example of some of it. I'm not going to go too much into the details of all of that. But, you know, it's got a direct link into ArcSDE. We have an unlimited amount of storage. You just need the hardware to utilize that kind of storage. We have a fairly good amount of hardware at the Illinois office where I'm at that deals with this stuff. And the system uses, you know, allows multiple concurrent users. So, you know, having that system in-house allows us to reutilize code bases so that, you know, if somebody needs to create some sort of input file or other file, you know, it's really literally easily to kind of to swap things around and just create things on the fly. We use a lot of .NET code. We also use some Java code and other kinds of web technology code that we've developed internally or developed elsewhere to utilize the system that we've built. I'm just going to look at a case study here for the pesticide root zone model. I don't know how common it is outside of agricultural chemical risk assessment, but you know, it's a one-dimensional model. It's a dynamic model that's compartmentalized. It simulates the movement of chemicals. It can simulate, you know, chemicals applied to soil or to plant foliage. It predicts peak loading events and estimates time-varying mass fluxes. It's got all sorts of different components. Its strength, I think, is in its transport and chemical transport environmental fate routines, and that's one of the reasons why it's so widely used in agricultural chemical risk assessment in the United States. Cecil had mentioned the Samson weather data. We were working with this data set on the U.S. continental scale. And you can see there are about 200 stations that represent the variability across the United States. And there are some that are very, 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 you know, sparsely populated spatially. And we spent a whole lot of time correcting these data. And what I mean by correcting, I mean just assigning them different stations to match rainfall totals for continental scale modeling just because of the spatial paucity of the data. The available years for this data set are 1961 to 1990 that we used, and I think there's a 2000, I think there might be a 2000 update, I'm not sure about that. But there are also gridded data sets available from 1900 and onward for rainfall data at the national scale, but they're not, you know, a NEXRAD-based product also, at all. So you have to watch the considerations when you're using those things. So here's what we're looking at for the AHPS radar rainfall. This is an average of 2004-2007 data for some project work that we were dealing with for some monitoring sites that we were looking at. And you can just see the spatial detailing that is available in some of these areas for the period of record. And we use these data to help contextualize monitored results, to help contextualize other details in the process. This is an examination of some of those same watersheds, and this background is just the radar grid cells. There are about 460,155 cells across the United States. If we look at these grid cells, 611 polygon cells intersect the watersheds that we're working with. So one has to be careful about when you're compiling these kinds of simulations and dealing with the NEXRAD database, because you can quickly exceed, you know, capabilities of your system. So, you know, you can generate millions to billions of simulation scenarios if you start dealing with different kinds of croppings, different kinds of other details on a grid cell basis intersected with soils if you want to do that kind of work. Here's an example of some local scale use. We use these data all the time to help us contextualize monitoring results. We want to look at, like, we had a question here. This is one of our watersheds in May of 2009. And, you know, we had an indication. We have our weather station here and our monitoring site here. You know, and this program is one of those watersheds that ranges across the Midwest. We didn't see actual rainfall total, and the total for this cell was 0.04 inches at the time on this daily basis. And our system picked up the fact that the stream actually started flowing. And we had to explain why it was flowing without the GLP data at the station being, you know, showing the same kind of rainfall. So we used the radar data, and you can see that on a local scale, it just really, really passed right by our gauge. We have 1.6 inches, 1.15 inches in the watershed, really in this path here. So what does this look like? Oh, 2 minutes? Okay. We've got 80 soil units and 40 watersheds and 611 radar cells that intersect those watersheds. So that's represented by 4,241 unique soil map unit keys and over 30,000 soil polygons. And when we do the processing with this, we've got 8,629 soil-based PRISM simulations that we're using. And we do an automated process for soil intersections and database compilations. When we do this processing, you know, we're using highly local level data. We've got the NEXRAD data, that soils data, and we also use the CDL all together to kind of develop our individual soil map simulation values, which then we scale to a watershed scale concentration time series. And the way we have this set up, we can do this on a national basis. So this is an example of some of those simulation results, and I'll show you. I didn't go into details with this, but this is some workability evaluations that we've done where we've configured the watersheds themselves to deal with the soil and to estimate when to apply based on, you know, when the soil is appropriate for that. And for concentration work, you know, we've got some really good results here for capturing these kind of more random peaks, but they're soil-based, and that's a benefit of using a spatial rainfall data set of such accuracy. So just to summarize, we built an enterprise-level database system for providing these data in a near-time, real-time basis. These products are always improving. There's hourly available now, 1 by 1 kilometer data coming soon. The spatially explicit meteorological data are critical to modeling real-world conditions. And, you know, these highly local values can be used in a number of ways to aid in problem-solving for risk assessment. These linkages to the modeling systems can be built using infrastructure to help provide these data to be used in environmental fate models, crop modeling, and hydrologic models. So that's it.